94, 43. How far back does this go, Dr. Greer? How far can we trace, I guess, what's the word, extraterrestrial visitations? How far back can we document it?
Well, I mean, people have evidence that I think is not terribly strong, but it would be indicative that this has gone on for thousands of years. Certainly there are, for example, carbon-dated cave drawings of what look like extraterrestrial vehicles that are just like what we see in the skies today.
They found a modern fighter jet sculpture in a Mayan dig, I think, about 3-4 years ago.
Yes, and also there have been, you know, the whole thing about the Nazca lines in Peru, and there are a lot of sort of archaeological indications that perhaps this is an ancient rather than anything modern phenomenon. But what we have done is to go back to the 30s and 40s forward, up and through even up to the present time, and identified people and evidence that is current and that is dispositive, in the sense that in any court of law or anyone who would objectively review the material, they would see that there is something legitimate going on that has been hidden from the public and, in fact, even from our senior elected officials. So, but I do think it is something that's been going on for a very long time.
Well, some mention the work of Zachariah Sitchin, of course, in decoding the Sumerian text. Of course, there's mention of the Nephilim in the Holy Bible, where it talks
right.
about these gods coming down from the sky in clouds and mating with the daughters of men.
Right, man.
But how do we discern between disinformation and real information? I mean, there can be information such as this planted, I guess, to make us think that this could exist. How do we discern between the two?
Well, the same way you do with anything. You have to go to the evidence, and you have to look at it objectively. My own personal opinion is that I try to stay out of things that are speculative or that are conjecture, simply because it's a very slippery slope. What we've tried to do, if you look at this, for example, we have a book out called Disclosure that people can get at disclosureproject.org. It has the transcripts of the name, rank, and serial number of almost 70 of these military and intelligence witnesses, along with the government documents. Anyone who can read, English, and in France, actually, it's been translated and it's distributed now in France as well, we'll see that this is very, very strong. Not only are the government documents very strong and clearly indicating that this material is accurate, but when you have a dozen separate air traffic controllers in military and civilian sectors who have tracked these objects going thousands of miles per hour and making right-hand turns without decelerating, and their testimony is consistent, even though they don't know each other,
sure.
dating from the 40s all the way up through the
year 2000. How do we know that isn't some type of man-made terrestrial technology that we're just not aware of, and maybe they're fooled into thinking that it's something that it isn't?
Well, because, in fact, this is a very good point. I think a great many of them are man-made and are based on things we've studied that are from off-planet. But the documentation that exists, I don't think anyone believes that we had this sort of thing operating in the 30s and 40s, mm-hmm. When we still had vacuum tubes and things of this sort. And on top of it, there are people inside our witness pool who have been on retrieval teams where they have actually retrieved the bodies, the actual physical extraterrestrial
sure.
bodies.
I mean, you had the Nazis and the famous Foo Fighters, and then you had
sure.
Well-known Nazis. In fact, Dr. Dorenberger, who was, I believe, the go-between between the Pentagon and NASA when NASA first started, was also a German SS officer, I believe.
And Hermann Oberth and Werner von Braun,
yep.
All those people actually had knowledge of a lot of these advanced physics. But that begs another question. Where did they get the ideas from? We have indications that in the 30s there were some of these non-human objects that were tracked and were retrieved that had been downed using advanced electromagnetic weapon
right.
systems that did exist at that time. So this goes back a long, long time. And at this point, for most people, it's a very muddy picture because I think a great many of the things that people see, for example, in the high desert of California, or launches of these anti-gravity prototypes out of the area around Palmdale and the Edwards base facilities that are out there, where Lockheed and Northrop have very extensive subterranean research facilities.
Yeah.
And we have people who have been in these facilities and have actually worked on designing these advanced aircraft and spacecraft that are using these propulsion and energy generation systems that I've been talking about.
Yeah, one of the things actually that my research turned up, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, is that the tax money made to build the location for the super collider underground never actually housed the super collider. That project was canceled, and some other black ops project was taking place there underground.
Correct, and this is often the case. For example, if you look at the B-2 stealth bomber, although say, well, these cost $1 or $2 billion a piece, that actually isn't true. It's just that the large amount of the money that goes into those projects goes to the identified projects, and then maybe 80% of it or 75% of it will be funneled into these other unacknowledged special access projects, is the proper term, or super secret black projects, where they're working on these more esoteric and exotic systems. So it's a very complex, and it's very much, you know, it's like a page out of the Mafia book where you have a storefront, and, you know, it looks like it's an Italian restaurant, and, you know, money's coming in and out the back door, it's all going.
Right.
So very much this is how a lot of these operations are going
forward.
Sure,
and you mentioned, you know, esoteric knowledge. I mean, that's also another contention, is that this technology has been around. I think some of these people make the same contention, that it's alien technology or extraterrestrial technology housed in, say, the libraries in Alexandria, which were burned to maybe hide the evidence. I mean, there's a lot to this, and I'm speculating, and I know you're trying to just put out evidence here. I got to go to these calls, Dr. Greer, or my listeners are going to kill me. I just saw a couple of them drop off. Folks, call right back. We're going to go right to your calls, 800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443, to talk with Dr. Stephen Greer and myself. Let's first go to Richard in Texas. Richard, thank you for calling in. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on. Dr. Greer, first talk with you. I heard you on another program one time, and you gave a chapter and verse explanation of why these secrecy oaths are basically illegal, because they're extra-constitutional and, well, illegal.
Right.
So I was wondering, I hope I got in on the show late. I hope it's not repetitive, but I was wondering if you could repeat that argument for these secrecy oaths being illegal that they've taken.
Right. Now, I want to be clear. What he's referring to are the secrecy oaths that people have been bound to in corporate and government programs specifically related to this subject.
Sounds like counter-allegiance, but go ahead.
No, well, but here, it's basic constitutional theory and legal theory. If an operation is going forward illegally and outside the Constitution, where they are lying to the constitutionally appointed officials, whether it be the president or the Congress or whoever, that operation cannot then cite the rule of law to enjoin other people, whether it's the National Security Act of 1947 or anything else, to keep their operation under the cloak of secrecy. They can't break the law and then use the law for their own protection at the same time. Now, they've been doing that for decades because no one's called them
on many levels, yeah.
Our attorneys, and we have some very good constitutional attorneys that I've consulted with on this, some top drawer guys, have said that, well, Dr. Greer, you're absolutely right. So back in 1997, I wrote an assessment of this and sent it to all the officials in our government, saying that basically people involved with these projects could come forward and speak publicly and could not be penalized, because the people who would try to penalize them are themselves rogue extra-constitutional
groups. Well, we know that whistleblowers in the past have not been protected on every level. We have to go to break. We're going to come right back. Good call, Richard. Race for space is really just almost a side issue to something like this. It's very, very important, and so important that I'll be doing an entire show on this arsenal of hypocrisy, as it's called. It's very, very dangerous. The life of the planet as we know it is at stake, folks, and that's what we're talking about today. Of course, with us is Dr. Stephen Greer from the DisclosureProject.org, and yes, they have books, videos, audio tapes that you can purchase to get more familiar with this information at DisclosureProject.org. Dr. Greer, I'm going over my notes here, and I think you inadvertently gave me some information that I like to use, and that is the multinational corporations, again, these mafia types, as you call them, withholding information from the presidents, knowing in general that presidents come and go.
Well, this is true. Not only that presidents come and go, but I have done briefings for example, the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency and the head of intelligence joint staff, who invited us to come in with some of our inside whistleblower witnesses to brief them, because when I had given, for example, and your listeners need to listen carefully to this story, when I'd given the head of intelligence joint staff, what's called J2, the project code numbers, which we have, and names of some of these operations, he looked into it. He did eventually find, hidden within the bowels of the Pentagon, one of these projects. And he wanted to be, quote, read into it. Read into means briefed on it. And he was told, sir, you do not have a need to know, and we cannot brief you on this project. And he says, well, if I don't, who the hell does? I'm the head of intelligence for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Now, this is an admiral.
Yeah.
So by the time I get to this meeting with a few of my witnesses and an Apollo astronaut who walked on the moon and a few other folks, this guy is, of course, hopping mad, not at me, but at the situation. This man personally turned to me and said, if you have identified a lot of insiders who know about this, you have my permission to go to the media and put this stuff out there because this is a rogue, illegal operation. So a lot of people ask me, who gave you the authority to go forward in 2001 with all this top secret top testimony? I said, well, no less a figure than someone who's sitting at that position at the Pentagon. So not that I needed his permission by any means, but because we had already done our own assessment that this was an illegal and rogue operation. But it gives you a sense of how screwed up
system
is.
Yeah, owners don't often tell CEOs or presidents of the company everything about the company. I mean, their job is to steer the ship. Was Edgar Mitchell the astronaut you were speaking about?
No, I can't comment, confirm or deny that because this is a meeting. The other people participating were confidential. So.
I got a ton of questions for you, but let's go back to the phones with all these great listeners patiently holding all over North America here. Let's go to Fred in Philadelphia. Fred, you're on the air with Dr. Stephen Greer.
Thank you. I don't know what position Dr. Greer takes on the existence of actual patents of technology like anti-gravity and others, but there are certainly applications for those types of patents, and they've been sitting around for 5 years or more. What is going on with the normal application and granting?
Do you have any specific patents in
mind? Sure. I have an application here. It just says anti-gravity machine with a classification that does not fit into any existing U.S. Patent Office classification.
Could just be a guy in his garage, I think, maybe, too. But.
No, but what I'm saying is that it's a certain bellwether, is a certain it's an intellectual tool that we have to use, is that the elite cannot contradict themselves. If they are, then their credibility falls down. So if they have a application for, if there's an application for anti-gravity, and it hasn't been granted, either it has to be granted or there has to be a reason why it isn't granted.
Dr. Greer?
Well, this is a complex issue, and it's probably beyond the scope of this show because the answer is